Testing. There we are. Okay. Chris, welcome to the Niagara United Mennonite Church family room, where we get together on a weekly basis and visit and with each other and share with our Heavenly Father and our brother Christ Jesus. And we want to share with you here today as well. We've had opportunity over the course of the weekend, some of us, those of us in leadership positions on Saturday morning, to get to know you a little bit, the youth on Friday night, and young adults yesterday afternoon with a lunch. And now is the opportunity for us as a whole congregation to get to know you a little more as well. So what we'd like to do is offer Chris some time to share his faith story with us, and maybe offer some explanation as to what you've placed in by our basket here that is our symbol for Lent, of the things that Jesus, that God provides for us in our spiritual wilderness journeys. And after that, we'll have a few exchanges of questions and answers for you.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for having me here this morning. I understand you've already had a Bible at the front as one symbol, so I should likely explain why I chose another one when Renata extended the invitation for me to bring an item for the table for Lent. It's really a setup for my story that I would tell in terms of my faith and my testimony, in that this Bible was a gift that was the first Bible I was ever gifted when I was 17 years old. I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up in a family that went to church on Christmas and Easter. I was mostly an Anglican heritage to my family from my father's British roots. But largely, church and faith were not a conversation that we had in our household. It was not something that was applicable to us, something that we just did not really talk about. And then around the time I was about 15 to 17 years old, I had a friend who invited me out to his youth group. And I wasn't exactly the most polite teen at 15, 17 years old, too. I knew a lot of good jokes to tell about church. I knew a lot of good jokes to tell about Christians. I was that kind of teenager at the time. But no matter what I said to my friend, no matter what jokes I told, no matter how I treated him, he constantly invited me back. And that spoke to me more than anything that he could reason or explain or try to convince me of. It was basically his friendship and his relationship with me that taught me what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. I'd heard a lot of talk about relationship and how this plays in faith, but I needed to see it embodied and lived out in an actual relationship with me before I would set foot inside a church for the first time. And my life was changed by it. A lot of the things that I've experienced, a lot of the things that I've seen have come about because someone was excited enough about church that they wanted me to be a part of church as well. And I got excited about it as well. I think a lot of things that I'd heard Jesus say were all of a sudden fleshed out. They all of a sudden made sense after he started living a relationship that was centered on Christ with me. Eventually along the way, I would learn of the Anabaptist Mennonite family. I'm a graduate of the University of Waterloo, so yes, I did do courses at Conrad Grebel College. I did spend some time there studying under people such as Jim Rimer, Tom Yoder Neufeld, and they taught me about the Mennonite Anabaptist family. And so if I wasn't shaking my head yes to things my friend was saying, invite me out to church before, when these men and women started teaching me about how Anabaptism lived as an expression of Christian faith, now I was nodding my head even more and saying, yes, this makes sense. This is what I'm reading in the Bible. This is what I'm discovering about Jesus. And I think Michelle and I would often describe coming to the Anabaptist family as a coming home experience, a sense of this is how we understood church family to be. And now we could be in family with other people who held a lot of the same ideas and were excited about the same things as we were. That's my Coles Notes version.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To begin with, a few of the questions I have, a couple of them, are related specifically to the ministry position that we are calling you to or considering to call you to, and that's the youth and young adult ministry. And just a little heads up, in case you memorized your answers, I'm switching the two questions around.
That's okay.
the first one is how you were drawn to youth ministry in specific. Those of us for whom that is maybe not a specific calling, much as we love our youth and young adults, and what compels you on a Friday evening to spend that evening with young people?
I particularly enjoyed how, I think, Renata or you, whoever who put together the question, sent that to me by email, because I think the phrasing was, what would make you want to give up your Friday nights to spend time with teenagers? a calling, a sense of calling, I wouldn't say it came from any sense of myself saying I had to do it, or someone coming to me and saying, you know, Chris, it would really help us out if you did this. I think it was more of a sense of I was interested. I approached people and said, "Hey, if you need someone, I'm happy to spend time and get to know people." I think it was a process of other people saying, "Sure, that'd be great." And if any of you have ever spent any time in youth ministry, I think it's a sense of you're not there because you're making a salary or you're trying to achieve or accomplish something. You're there because you want to be there. You're having fun being with people, having a good time, having spiritual conversations, playing games, just enjoying being with one another. I think that's what I enjoyed when I went to youth group myself. It was being a part of a community. And I just get excited about the opportunity to be in community, whether that's with teens or with young adults. If we can have fun, if we can learn more about God together, then that's where I would like to be. So, yeah, I think I would describe it as a sense of just a natural progression of how I've participated in church life. I guess the short way to put it is somehow I found myself there, and it's been fun. It's been good.
Great. And what has, in your past experience in ministry, what has been your experience particularly with youth and young adults?
My wife and I have been a part of a teen camp at a place called Camp Hermosa. It's a Baptist church camp up on Lake Huron near Goderich, Ontario. We've been a part of leading the youth program there since 1997. So it's been a bit of time there. Michelle's been there more than I have the last few years. And I was gone for about 3 years. Michelle was leading it. I wasn't there for 3 years. And I remember going back after 3 years and thinking, is this going to work, or am I going to get here and realize, you know, maybe youth ministry isn't my thing anymore? Right? I'm going to tell my jokes. I'm going to play the games, and the teens are going to kind of be looking at me like, "Who is this guy? And why is he hanging out here?" We didn't have that experience at all. We had a great week. Through the week, we were again reading scripture together, learning about God together, going bowling together. The teen group we had that time, they loved to dance. So there was a lot of dancing with this particular teen time together. And it was great. It was a great week. And it was like, okay, this is still a place that I enjoy myself. It's still a place I feel like I'm experiencing God and experiencing faith and spirituality. So, yeah, I still enjoy being there. I'm not giving up a Friday night at all. It's a place I would want to be on a Friday night.
So when we look at the functioning of the church, all our ministries and programs and that, how do you visualize a youth program being effective and something? How would you visualize it as an effective ministry for our young people?
Well, I guess one thing I should say is I spent this last Friday night with youth group, and I have to give a big shout out to Ellery and the leadership team there, because they're doing a tremendous job with your kids who are there. In many ways, what we did on Friday night is a lot of what I enjoy about youth programs. We spent time playing card games. Ellery also organized, I don't know if you know this, but Ellery, I think Rachel, you've been a part of helping put together some of this. They've been putting together a map of Virgil, Niagara-on-the-Lake, St. Catharines, and they've been encouraging our teens to dream and think about what are places that they appreciate and they enjoy around the area. And I think the journey that they're trying to go on is asking God, where can we serve? Where can we be a good presence in the community? And that's exactly what I would be excited to be a part of. Someone asked, I think, yesterday during our Saturday morning meeting with a few members from various councils, what do you do in a youth program? And I think I shared, we do a lot of the things that we do in church life. It's just at a different age and stage, and we might have different conversations, but serving in the community, learning about God together, building friendships, having fun together, these are all, I think, universal aspects of church life. And no matter which age and stage you're in, we want to experience that. And we want to experience it authentically and in a deep sort of sense. So when I was there on Friday night and saw how they were organizing things and what they were doing, it was great. You should also know your teens are somehow really great cooks when it comes to grilled cheese sandwiches. Because I ate a grilled cheese sandwich that had goat cheese, caramelized apple, maple syrup, chocolate, and marshmallows all in it. That was Alicia. Alicia and Abby, I think, did that. And that was, wow. That Austin and I were sitting there going, this is, I'd pay money for enjoying this. So maybe that's a good answer for calling to youth ministry. I get to enjoy.
Maybe now we get what you mean by it not being giving up a Friday. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, youth leadership spikes. Everyone wants to.
There you go. At the moment, we don't have an active program going for young adults, but we hope to make that possible in the very near future. How would you visualize engaging with the young adults and enabling the church to draw young adults in more?
Yeah, again, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I would say, again, it's what are those aspects of church life that we can experience together, building relationships, serving together, learning about God together. That's the broken record moment that I'll say. So I also had a chance to hang out with the young adults in your community yesterday as well. And here you have a very different age and stage from our young teens, right? We had young, small children in the room with us. We were talking about Airbnbs that we're building and renting. We're talking about various careers, different hobbies that we're enjoying. You're having very different conversations and very different touch points of faith and spirituality, different places where people are asking questions about how does my faith or how does God fit into this. I think my approach has always been I would come into a community, get to know who the people are, and ask, what are the conversations you want to have? What's relevant to you in terms of faith conversations? A lot of how I envision doing ministry, at the risk of sounding a little selfish, it's things that I would want to talk about or things that I feel concern myself as well. So I might talk with someone and they might say, you know, I've been pursuing a career for some time, but I really feel stuck. I really feel like I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be next. Somehow I resonate with that conversation and that interests me, saying, yeah, how does God and faith speak into that? When I was at my wife and I helped to plant a church in Ottawa in the 2000s, and a lot of people, when they were going to church for the first time and finding out what God and Jesus has to say about their lives, they were asking questions about their job and their career, how they've been doing family for the last little while. And faced with these new understandings about God and about spirituality, they didn't know what to do. And so we were trying to build community where you could ask questions, you could struggle with these things, and have people that made you feel comfortable having those conversations and asking those questions. And trying to be honest, too, that we were all asking these same questions and having these same conversations. Something like that is what I would be interested in setting up, whether that's with young adults or with youth. There's probably different kinds of leisure activities you participate in. But I think my main concern would be getting to know who's in the church, seeing what we're excited about, and then seeing what God would call us to from there.
So as you mentioned, the map that the young people worked on the other night and the young adult conversation about things that are going on in the community, it seems to resonate the overall sense of direction that we as a whole congregation are becoming more and more inspired for, and based on our mission statement, which is called to be servants of Christ in our community. So I see there are some really strong connections with those various groups in our congregation and that whole mission. So how do you understand that mission statement, and how do you see yourself helping us live that out?
I'm particularly very passionate about building relationships between the church and the larger community. That's been a particular passion piece of mine for pretty much since I started my faith journey. It's kind of what got me excited about Jesus in the first place, and it's just progressed and continued on since then. I understand that the youth are going on a retreat to Toronto in the near future, where they're going to spend a weekend downtown learning what homelessness, brokenness can look like in that setting. And I tried to affirm that a little bit on Friday night to say that was really formative for me. When I experienced that as a university student at Waterloo, when I was a part of the Navigators of Canada ministry there as a student. If I say that there are stories where things got fleshed out for me about my understanding of Jesus, spending time particularly in downtown Toronto, downtown Kitchener, different places, yeah, it really takes words off the page. It really takes those stories that you're reading about Jesus and his ideas, and now you see what that's lived like when you're out amongst people who have lost a deep sense of hope and a deep sense of belonging somewhere. And this good news message that we have all of a sudden takes on a whole different meaning when you're hanging out with people living in these circumstances. And one time when I was working as a chaplain at university, so I don't want to skip over too much of the story. I was a student in the Navigators of Canada, and then I went to work with the organization for 5 years after I was a student. And I remember one time sitting and hanging out with a student who she really felt that her faith had plateaued. She really felt like, you know, I grew up in the church, I learned about Jesus and I learned about God, but a lot of life has really left my faith. I feel like I'm going through a routine and nothing really exciting is happening. And so I asked her, I said, just out of curiosity, how much time are you spending with people outside of the church? And I think a few of us were talking about this yesterday morning. She said, well, honestly, most of my friendships and my relationships are in the church, which is actually a good thing, right? We want safe community where we can care for one another and experience spirituality together. But I think what I was trying to illustrate for this young woman was there is something vital about faith when we get out into the community and talk with people who don't go to church. It forces me to rethink why I believe certain things or things that I may have taken for granted. And so personally, I thrive on a lot of those conversations. And I'm someone, again, part of the reason why I brought this gift up to the table was this is a gift I received at one point in my life that I needed. And I've always felt indebted now that this is a gift I have to pass on. This is a gift that God has given to me, not to keep to myself and be thankful for what I have, but it's a gift that I can now spread and give to others. And so this is why a particular passion piece for me has been getting out into the community, building relationships, serving others outside of the church that I might share this gift as well. And we might be surprised just what we learn about our own faith when we experience that at the same time.
As we are hopefully approaching the conclusion of a long time of transition in leadership in our congregation, we are looking forward to Daniel Jansen coming on board as lead pastor sometime in August. And we have Rachel working as worship and engagement coordinator, and myself predominantly with the German worship. How do you visualize yourself in the context of a multi-staff congregation with all the different things going on in our congregation? How do you, what do you believe the role of the youth leader would be in that whole context, in that milieu?
Oh, personally, I'm excited to be part of a staff team again. For my last few years that I've been in ministry, I've often been in a sort of a solitary leadership position. I actually really enjoy being on staff teams. There's a different camaraderie, right, that takes place. And there's something to be said, too, about when you're leading and you have colleagues, friends who you can share joys with, share struggles with, just process things together. So I'm excited to be a part of that. For a short time, I worked in Oakville at the Central Meeting House site, and there were three of us who were pastors at that site. It was a fairly large church, so you needed several pastors to sort of lead and care for everybody. And so there were three of us who were pastors there, and that was a great time of ministry because you just didn't feel very alone in your leadership. You had friends who you could tell jokes with and share frustrations with and just really support one another. We used to joke, the setup would be very similar to this, except the sound table at the back would be behind all the seating. And that was generally where we would stand as we'd kind of watch the service happening, because you could reach any area in the sanctuary really easily from there. If you needed to get to a different place, you could move there quickly. But we joked that often on Sunday mornings, all three of us would be standing at this back sound bench area, sort of leaning against it, like baseball players in a dugout. And so we actually nicknamed it the dugout. And so before I left Oakville, we took a picture of all of us eating sunflower seeds and standing at the back of the, to say, to the dugout, to remember the team that we were on. So I'm excited to be a part of that. I've had a chance to meet Rachel. I've had a chance to meet Daniel. Daniel and I have had FaceTime calls. And, I'm excited to, I think it'll be a combination of evolving. I think until we really get together and start experiencing community life together, you can have a general sense of how it's going to work out, but you really have to see how it goes when you're together. But my goal, and I've tried to make this apparent to Ellery and Rachel and Daniel and different people, is that I would love to come here and support what you do. I'm excited to be part of a team where none of us has to go this all on our own, where we're a team together to support each other where we're strong, and support each other where we may need help and may need assistance. And that goes for all of us. It goes for all of us on the leadership team. I'm excited to be a part of that again.
Great. My primary responsibility being the German worship, which is mostly older members of our congregation, I have found myself gravitating towards the ongoing admonition or theme of encouraging them to be supportive, prayerful supporters of the wider mission of the congregation, and recognizing that they still have a part in this call to be servants of Christ in the community, maybe not so much with tangible hands-on things, but in prayerful support for what's going on as we try and engage with our community. How do you see teens and possibly young adults as well? What do they need to hear from the rest of the church for their pilgrimage with Christ?
I'll give the quick short answer and then the description of why I say that answer. I think one of the most exciting things that young people can hear from you, if you're wondering how you can bless and encourage them, is to say how excited you are for them. That goes miles with young people. They love hearing that you're glad they're there and you're excited for what they might do and what they might bring to the church. Michelle and I had the pleasure of getting to know a couple named Ted and Tina Veenstra. Ted and Tina were a couple in their 80s who we got to know in Cambridge, Ontario. We were living there. And I think Michelle and I were just entering our 40s at that time, and we said, Ted and Tina is who we want to be when we grow up. Because Ted and Tina were just this amazing couple who were so excited for what we could offer and what we could bring to the church. They had us over for dinner. They asked us what we dream about, what we hope about. And when we said what we hope and we dream about, Ted and Tina would say, great, how can we help you? And they didn't say it with a sense of, now we're going to tell you how it's done, right? It wasn't that sense. It was a sense of, how can we serve you? How can we help you live out that vision? And we loved Ted and Tina dearly. Sadly, Ted left us 2 years past. His wife Tina is still with us. But we very deeply mourn Ted's passing, because Ted inspired us. He cared for us. He was such a gentle, kind man. He loved sailing. He loved talking theology. So he and I got along well really quickly. It was just a real blessing for them to share with us their passion for the church and their excitement for us. That those were the biggest words of blessing we could receive. And I think that applied when I was 20. It still applies today.
I can very much relate to that, you know, especially when we were pastoring further away from any of our family circle, just to have older people in the congregation that kind of adopted us, you know, and were keen on supporting us in various different ways, in a very loving way. So maybe that's a challenge for all of us to look around and see the young adults in our midst who need that kind of mentoring, friendship, support.
Sorry, I was going to say a fun story is that when we moved to Cambridge, Ted and Tina gave us the use of their home when we were looking for a home in the area. And we actually spent our first Easter in Cambridge at Ted and Tina's home. And, of course, our children wanted an Easter egg hunt that morning. So we thought, well, we're in someone else's house, but we should still do this. We should still have it for them. And several months later, Ted and Tina would have us over, and Tina would say, oh, and here is another egg from your Easter egg hunt. And I think regularly when we went over to their house, they would regularly present us with Easter eggs we had left.
Something that you touched on yesterday when we were meeting with the councils that resonated with me, and I think it's worth for the whole congregation especially to hear. You talked a little bit about young people and young adults being at a stage in life where they are full of ideas and what we as a congregation need to be attentive to about that. Do you want to touch on that a little bit more?
So just to flesh that out a little bit more, I knew a young couple in Ottawa. They were about 24 years of age, newly married, and they both had full-time occupations. They were both very busy with work, very busy starting a young family, but they wanted to start a clean water initiative in Africa. And so they did. They just did it. They went out and found the resources, and they made it happen. This bizarre story goes that I think they emailed Tony Campolo and said, hey, we know you're excited about this. On a sort of a bizarre wish, would you have time to meet with us? The story goes that Tony Campolo emailed them and said, yes, come to my university where I work and we'll tour. So this young couple all of a sudden are off hanging out with Tony, and they tell the story that Tony gives them a tour, and he says he's so excited about what they're doing. This fellow who they don't know, who's a little bit of a celebrity and kind of church circles, just gets excited about what they're doing. And this young couple made it happen. And yesterday I was saying sometimes companies like Google and Apple get this a little better than we do in the church, that young people have ideas and they have the passion and they have the energy to make it happen. Google's interested because their stock value goes up if they get young people in and they get those ideas fleshed out and lived out. That's one of their primary interests, make that happen. But I think there's really something we can learn from that in the church, that why should we let Google and Apple have all the fun in terms of young people and their ideas? They want to be excited. They want to share their ideas and their initiatives. How can we equip them to do that? Basically, how can we enjoy the gifts of what they bring? Why leave it to Google and Apple to figure that out when we can do that here in the church? They understand it really well. They know that a recent university graduate is excited to start a clean water initiative over in another country, and they won't hesitate to put that person in a leadership position to make it happen, because they know what that kind of growth when that kind of passion can bring to an organization. If we can find ways to do that in the church, there are amazing things that we can experience.
Yeah, that just really resonated with me yesterday, and I just wanted to have the rest of the congregation hear that as well.
You gave me the permission to share the same story again.
There you go.
I warned everybody that I sometimes recycle my stories, and my wife has to sometimes say, Chris, you've said that story before. Please. So you gave me permission to do that.
No problem. We have a few more minutes, maybe just to touch on a few things more about your personal getting to know you more personally. What interests and activities do you enjoy outside of church life and church work and ministry?
Well, I watch a lot of film and a lot of television shows. I think I was sharing with the youth the other night that I started memorizing Bible scriptures because I realized when I was out with my friends, I could quote The Matrix, The Lord of the Rings, any of those movies with no issue. I thought, oh, maybe I should know some Bible verses as well. I clearly watch a lot of film. I should really expand my knowledge in that regard. But I watch a lot of film and a lot of television shows because what we clearly see out of the Bible is that storytelling is a huge part of how God communicates. And our films and our television shows today, this is our storytelling around the campfire. This is, whether we like it or not, this is how our culture communicates now. So when I meet people, we will talk about which films we've seen and which television shows we've watched. I helped a young couple get married just before I finished at the First Mennonite Church. And when we first met, right away, we jumped into what television shows we've been watching. And it just helped me to really connect personally and intimately with this young couple, having similar stories to tell and what we thought of those stories, how it angered us when this one character experienced this in the story, and how excited we were for different plot developments. That's a big part of what I enjoy doing. But to be fair, I also enjoy reading. So I read a lot as well. One of the places where Daniel Janzen and I connected really quickly is that I am a bit of a theology geek. So right away, Daniel says, well, what are you reading right now? And I say, what are you reading right now? And it felt like a date. It felt like we're... because he said, oh, I'm reading this. And I said, I'm reading that. And all of a sudden, we got excited and we're talking with each other about what we're reading. If you know theology geeks, that's kind of how you don't get us excited about this, because we'll go for quite a while. I also enjoy spending time outdoors. Our family will go to places like Port Dalhousie. I love Queen Street, Niagara-on-the-Lake. I was sharing with the youth two places I fell in love with really quickly when I came to St. Catharines were Port Dalhousie and Niagara-on-the-Lake. One of my favorite things to do in the summer seasons is to get a coffee and just walk up and down Queen Street in Niagara-on-the-Lake and just take in the people and the vibe and the stores that are there, just the feeling and the atmosphere. I really enjoy that as well. And we're a big board gaming family. We play a lot of board games. So if you're ever over at our house sometime, you can see the shelves of games we have to enjoy. But don't get us started on talking about it. You might be there a while.
And maybe I'll wind this up with asking the question, how can we as a congregation pray for you and Michelle and for your family?
Since we planted our church in Ottawa, I've served at two different churches since that time. I think just praying for us that we would find a sense of family with you, a sense of connection. One thing we really wanted to concentrate on in this transition time was staying here. We really did not want to move and relocate. I remember Al Rempel, who's with the MCEC, coming to me and telling me about different opportunities that were around Ontario. And I just remember feeling next to no passion for that and thinking, no, I don't want to relocate. I don't want to move my children into another new setting. We've had that experience as a family. It's been great. Don't get me wrong. We personally, as a family, we don't feel called to overseas mission. That's never really been a calling for us. So when we went to Ottawa, that kind of felt like the closest we were going to get to that. 5 years out of the nation's capital. It's a far ways. I mean, my parents saw their grandchildren maybe once or twice a year when we were out in Ottawa. And so we came back to Southern Ontario because we wanted our children to experience life with their grandparents and life with their extended family. So we had that season of traveling and going somewhere else. Now we really felt called to a season of really remaining in a community and building deeper roots here. And we love the area. This area is just my friend James Reeser over at the First Mennonite Church calls this the hidden Garden of Eden in Ontario. He's a farmer, so I guess he can come by that honestly. He can say that honestly. We just really enjoy being in this community. So praying for us that we would have a continued sense of family and community here, that our children could continue to enjoy the gifts that this area has to offer. And I guess praying too that what are the things that we might experience together as a church? What are the things that, what are the highs that are going to come our way? I'm going to steal this from the youth. What are the highs that we're going to experience together? And can we be there with one another through the lows as well?
So with that, I invite you to bow in prayer. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time to share together, to listen, and to disclose passions and ideas, and hopes and dreams. We thank you for your constant, faithful leading of this congregation through many times of change and uncertainty.